those ups and downs, the cool breezes that get too cool, and then the warmth that gets too hot, back and forth. In order to experience all that, you've got to work very hard. Just to experience all that. For the privilege of feeling the coming and going of happiness and distress. This way we can get a lesson from everything. That's the way people talk these days. Everything is a learning experience. Problem is they never learn. They don't even know what they're supposed to learn. All right. Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 3, Rishabhadev's Appearance, Text 13. Dear Lord, here is the great King Nabi, whose ultimate goal in life is to have a son like you. Your Lordship, his position is like that of a person approaching a very rich man and begging for a little grain. Maharaj Nabi is so desirous of having a son that he is worshipping you for a son, although you can offer him any exalted position, including elevation to the heavenly planets or liberation back to Godhead. Purport. The priests were a little ashamed that King Nabi was performing a great sacrifice just to ask the Lord's benediction for a son. The Lord could offer him promotion to the heavenly planets or the Vaikuntha planets. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us how to approach the Supreme Lord and ask him for the ultimate benediction. He said, Nadanang Nadanang Nasundaring Kavitang Bhajagadisha Kamaye. He did not want to ask the Supreme Lord for anything material. Material opulence means riches, a nice family, a good wife, and many followers. But an intelligent devotee doesn't ask the Supreme Lord for anything material. His only prayer is, Mama Janmani Janmani Sure Bhavatad Bhakti Ahituki Twai. He wants to be engaged perpetually in the loving service of the Lord. He does not want promotion to the heavenly planets or mukti, liberation from material bondage. If this were the case, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have said, Mama Janmani Janmani. It doesn't matter to a devotee whether or not he takes birth life after life, as long as he remains a devotee. Actually, eternal liberty means returning home back to Godhead. A devotee is never concerned about anything material. Although Nabi Maharaj wanted a son like Vishnu, wanting a son like God is also a form of sense gratification. A pure devotee wants only to engage in the Lord's loving service. Om Agena Timanandasya Ganam Jana Shalakaya Chakshun Maditamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. You're at the scene of a great sacrificial ceremony instigated by an extraordinarily pious, wonderful king named Nabi, and he's employed his Brahmins, his priests, in this great sacrifice. His goal, he wants a son just like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the priests, they're a bit ashamed that such a huge sacrifice involving so many costly ingredients is going on just to ask the Lord for a son. Nevertheless, they went ahead with this sacrifice upon the request of King Nabi. And later you will hear how actually because of the priest's sanctity and faithfulness to the Lord actually appeared in the sacrifice as four-handed Vishnu and announced that King Nabi and his wife would indeed actually have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son. That means Rishabhdev. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we don't generally come because we simply want to serve Krishna birth after birth, no matter what happens to us. How many of you had that motivation when you first walked in the door. Now, generally we are distressed by material life. That is a sign of intelligence. Only a fool thinks that he or she can enjoy in the world of matter. That's like looking for water in the middle of the desert. If you're going to search for water, search in the vicinity of the oceans, where water naturally gathers. Similarly, if you want happiness, then you must look beyond the realm of matter, beyond material activities. So generally, when we approach Krishna consciousness, we are distressed by our failure to achieve satisfaction in this world. That takes some honesty. Generally, even though people are so deluded these days, they're very proud. Oh, I'm happy, somehow or other. I'm going to be happy. It'll work out. Because you feel that unless you can present yourself as being somehow or other a little bit happy, people will look down on you as if you're crazy. And you don't want that to happen. Therefore, just to keep up your social standing amongst your friends, even if you have no friends, everyone imagines how everyone's thinking about me. And also to keep up your own self-image, your own respect for yourself, you have to assure yourself that I'm a little bit happy and I'm capable of becoming happy. This mentality is due to association with material nature. We pick up these contaminations in which we are willing to delude even our own self. It's like when you wake up in the morning, you begin to think, how shall I delude myself today? Let me count the ways. First of all, I am this body. Secondly, bodily happiness, mental happiness will make me happy. Thirdly, I must work very hard for these things, because by working hard for these things, I prove my self-worth as a person. And I also prove my worth to society. After all, society appreciates me so much. My friends appreciate me so much. They do wonders for me. And one day I will find that special person who really cares for me and appreciates me. Anyway, even if it only lasts a weekend, we can still pretend for 6 months, and then I'll find somebody else. People are so willing to settle for broken pieces of glass. The priests here, they're saying, Nabi is performing this great sacrifice just to ask the Lord for a son. That's like a very rich man. That's like a person approaching a very rich man and just asking, give me a few grains in my palm. We do not know what to ask for, yet we think we are so expert. I know what I'm doing. I know why I'm working. I know why I'm studying. I know why I'm living. We have no idea how to benefit ourselves. Just try it. Whenever people say, well, I want to know myself, I want to please myself, then you ask them, what is the self? Can't answer. What is the self? I am me. Well, what is that? Me is me. Well, where is me? Me is inside of me. Do you mean your lungs? Do you mean your heart? What do you mean? It's just my inner self. That's me. Because they have no specific definitive knowledge of who they are and what they are part of, how can they even begin to be happy? But because they're tossing and turning in the ocean of material existence, they never have a chance to actually get a clear grip on their situation. Because everything in modern so-called civilization militates against your ever getting a clear grip on your situation. You're constantly caught up in the tumult of trying to satisfy your body and mind. You can never get on firm ground, take a decent look at what your situation is. Your senses are always aching, your mind is always burning, you're longing for this and lamenting for that. You never have a chance to take a clear look and try to understand what is your existential situation. Therefore, people think the kind of discussions we're having now, these are like a hobby. These are a luxury. They're not the main thing in life. What's the main thing in life? You must maintain your life so that you can satisfy your senses, even in a very crude way or a very refined way. Still, the goal of life is to please yourself, whatever and whoever that is. And then people think, there are those amongst human beings who, they take life so seriously. just like the Krishna conscious people. They're always discussing such weighty things. They're always involved with such ultimate issues. They're missing out on all the fun. While they're scratching their heads all the time, well, they're not scratching their heads because they don't do research. They take their information directly from this Krishna. They miss out even on the fun of speculation and research. They just take it from Krishna. Why can't they just go here, there, taking a little bit of information from each person? Because everyone is the truth. We all are the truth. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Make your own blend. They're missing out. First of all, they're missing out on sense gratification. They're denying the body. They're anti-body. Then they're missing out on speculation, philosophical research. They refuse to just go here and there, analyzing in their own way, with their imperfect senses, trying to come up with perfection. They don't do that. So what is it to their life? How can they shackle themselves like this? Their bodies have senses. Those senses are meant for trying to squeeze some enjoyment out of this world. They're neglecting their minds. They're just focusing on Krishna. They're limiting themselves by focusing on Krishna. Of course, no one ever thinks that by focusing on the material world, that's not a limit. They think the material world is unlimited, but Krishna is limited. So you're paining yourself when you focus on Krishna. When you focus on the material world, all this unlimited opportunities. And who is Krishna? They have no idea. They're so attached to the body and mind, they think Krishna must be a figment of somebody's imagination. A nice figment, though. After all, everybody needs their myth these days. Whatever belief you want to have that helps you consolidate yourself, that's all right. Whatever gets you over, whatever keeps you going from day to day, the main thing is just to keep on going, experiencing, exchanging, learning, teaching, following, leading, just being. Of course, we have no time for such nonsense. And people think, oh, this is very narrow-minded. No. Who is actually narrow-minded? If you focus on that which is temporary and limited, aren't you narrow-minded? And if you focus on that which is unlimited and eternal, then you have the broadest mind. So to be a Krishna conscious practitioner means you have the broadest mind. That's the real meaning of Mahatma. You are great, you are broad, because of your connection to the supreme great. Krishna is the broadest. Because people are not taught how to practically experience the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they think that Krishna realization is just some kind of belief. You can believe this, I can believe that. But in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, you can directly perceive me with your purified senses. Therefore, so much of our Krishna conscious process is dedicated to purifying our senses so that we can become qualified to perceive the Supreme Absolute Truth. And even if we have material desires, still, we should approach Krishna. We should render devotional service. Whether you're inquisitive, whether you want knowledge, whether you are distressed, even if you want a nice, prosperous life, come to Krishna. Why do you approach the material world and surrender everything to the material world? You see, you have to submit one way or another. If you do not submit to Krishna and devotional service, what do you submit to? You submit to the process of material nature, struggling to satisfy your senses. You submit to your own senses. How many of us think like that? We're submitting to our own mind and senses. We're serving them. Now what happens? Those who have experience in serving their mind and senses, do you ever get a pension or relief or vacation or furlough? No. You serve your senses very faithfully, and they never give you a break. It's not that your senses tell you, okay, my dear sir, my dear lady, you've served us so faithfully. Whatever we've dictated to you, you've done. Now take a break. No, it's not like that. So Rupa Goswami, he laments like that in one verse. I've served my senses so faithfully, and still they don't give me any relief. They don't give me a break. They don't tell me, okay, so many years you've dedicated your life surrendering to your senses. Now, take a break. No. It's always more, more, more. As long as we are associating with material nature, we are in a very dangerous position. We are being dragged here and there. We can never get a grip on ourselves. We may hope, well, when I'm old and gray, then I'll take these ultimate issues very seriously. Actually, those Hare Krishnas, they're just too young to be thinking about this stuff all the time. Life is meant to be experienced. Yes, life is meant to be experienced, but who is actually experiencing life? Life means the soul. You can look and see everyone's experiencing matter. Either the gross physical matter or the subtle mental matter. So we're also experiencing, but we don't want to experience matter. We want to experience spirit. Because without the spirit, the body has no life. So who is actually experiencing life? You have some who are experiencing matter and some who are experiencing life. So you take your pick. Even the subtle body, the astral body, the psychic body is also matter. When I was at the expo for unconscious living, as Dayasara calls it, I don't say like that. I appreciate all these things. Whatever it takes to get people to reach enlightenment, I appreciate, but he's narrow, you see. I know that reality is whatever you make it, spiritual is whatever you feel it to be. But he's called it the festival of unconsciousness. Anyway, at least his devotees, they serve good food. So, I was thinking of this gross and subtle matter. Because when you're working these booths many times, the opposite sex, they're attracted. They're going from booth to booth. And if they see someone nice, like Chandrasekhar Acharya, they'll come and nibble. And they're interested in what you have, and they're also interested in you. Because actually to find a clean, wholesome person is impossible in this day and age. So, never mind you're dressed differently, wearing saffron cloth. The whole point is it's a festival of supposedly conscious living, and you must be a holistic spiritual person, so you're obviously part of the merchandise. So, and what can you say? People, they're not trained, so naturally they're looking for some kind of happiness, so they think, well, this festival is offering, this expo is offering so many products, and you're one of the products. We'll size up the products, we'll also size up you. So, you're sitting behind the booth, and they come up and kind of check out the talent, check out your talents, and present themselves in various ways. And you have to consider what actually is happening now. What are you in touch with? You are in contact with the movements and fluctuations of gross and subtle matter. First of all, there's the physical body moving like this and that. Oh, what are those books you have there? And then sometimes they even buy a book, and then when they pay for the book, how is it done? They hand you the money like this. Like me first before the change. And then let's have a nice talk. Oh, you like that? You think like that, huh? Oh, and exuding various emotions. So, if you're trained in Srimad Bhagavatam, then you know, these are the movements of gross and subtle matter. There's the physical body, and then there are the emotions. That's also matter, but subtle matter. You can't see it, but it is matter. They had so many exhibits or booths of supposed machines that could read auras. So, doubtful, as Duncan knows, it's generally a software scam. But in any case, that's just subtle matter, even if the people are actually able to show you your subtle body, it's just matter. Because we are trained in Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see like that. It is not artificial, it is actually real vision. And because we are hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, we automatically are focused on the spiritual reality of service to Krishna instead of service to our temporary senses. People can't understand that though. They can't really understand what makes you tick because they don't understand the spiritual reality. When you're slaved, when you're enslaved by your mind and senses, you must consider sense gratification as the goal of life, and gross and subtle sense gratification, that is what I'm looking for. And then you become blinded. Even when you talk about spirituality, spiritual things, you never taste that reality. You can't, because you're enslaved by your mind and senses. Therefore, all the great spiritual traditions of the world always say that this body, this world is temporary, and you have to focus on something else. But what actually is that something else? You'll find no greater source of knowledge of what that something else is than that given by Krishna. So we ask, make a comparative study. See. Hear what Krishna says. Study Krishna and see, will you find a greater source of knowledge of the Supreme Absolute Truth? Like Chandrasekhar Acharya, he was asking me, "Oh Maharaj, what's your opinion? I'm thinking of going to the university to study comparative religion." So of course, we know he has plans simply how to use this for serving Krishna. So I said, "Well, you know, that's up to you. But one thing you should understand is that there's really nothing to compare. Because in no other spiritual system will you actually find out the details, definitive knowledge of what is the Supreme. You'll simply find references. Serve the Supreme, worship the Supreme, praise the Supreme, praise God, or God is great, or else you'll find the all-pervading oneness, what is that is, the ultimate reality. You'll find these references, but in terms of actual specifics, description, you won't find that. So, in that sense, there's nothing to compare. So that makes comparative religion a bit difficult involving Krishna consciousness. But it's hard for people to see that. They think, okay, you're into Krishna. I'm into the Spirit. I'm into God. It's all the same. They can't see that there's a difference between references to the Supreme Absolute Truth and actual knowledge, detailed, specific knowledge of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Just like here, if I just said, the women over here. Certainly I would be referring to living entities over here. But it shows that I don't have any personal knowledge of them. I could just treat them like an impersonal, generic group. The women over there. So on the one hand, I would be accurate, speaking conventionally in the material sense. But on the other hand, I would be showing no definitive knowledge. They're individuals. They have their different characteristics. They have their different ways. The different personalities. So I'm not wrong by saying the women over there, but at the same time it shows I have no knowledge other than a general reference. So that is the difference between Krishna consciousness and other attempts to give information about the Supreme. There is a great difference between just references to the Almighty and specific knowledge of the Almighty. Now, how is it that you can get the best knowledge of the Almighty? By hearing from the Almighty. If I want to know. In other words, if I get tired of just saying, the women over there, what's the best way for me to get to know? I should ask. Please describe yourself. And then I listen. And that's all Krishna asks of us in Bhagavad Gita. Let me describe myself to you. And what do we say? No, you can't do that. Because we don't want to hear. We don't want to allow that Krishna exists. Because we are in this world to imitate Krishna. Why should we hear from you? We are the enjoyers. We are the controllers. In our own way. Each of us is our own truth in that way. Each of us controls and enjoys in his or her own way. We don't want to hear from you, Krishna. Therefore, how can there be any spiritual advancement? It's like lighting a fire and pouring water on it at the same time. On the one hand, you say, I want to find out about spirituality. I want to find out about the Almighty, the ultimate, the all-pervading, the supreme emptiness. You say like that. And then, the Supreme Absolute Truth says, let me explain myself to you. And you say, no, I don't want to hear it. So it is very hard work. How to educate people with a genuine spiritual education. But, we go on. We were also very ignorant slaves of our senses. We did not come to Krishna with pure motives of just wanting to serve Krishna. Similarly, we invite everyone. No matter what your motive is, please come and hear about Krishna. Whether you're distressed, you're inquisitive, you're looking for knowledge, even if you want a nice, prosperous life, please come to Krishna. Some of our members, they're interested in having a prosperous life. Some of our members are interested in acquiring knowledge. Some are inquisitive. Some are interested in escaping the distresses of material existence. They're all welcome. Side by side, everyone gets the chance to hear that the highest thing is just to serve Krishna for the sake of serving Krishna. So we don't discourage and push away persons who have material desires in coming to Krishna. At the same time, we don't fail to show what is the highest standard. Both things are there. There's no doubt about it. The standard of real Krishna consciousness is extraordinary. Listen to this. A devotee is never concerned about anything material. A pure devotee wants only to engage in the Lord's loving service. That is our goal. Yet we are open to all kinds of patients who have other motives in the beginning. Because Krishna says, even though they have other motives, because they're coming to me, they're extremely meritorious. Sukriti. And then, under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, and by hearing about Krishna, chanting Krishna's name, gradually things become more clear. Just like Dhruva Maharaj said in the fourth canto, I was searching for broken pieces of glass. I didn't have knowledge of the greatest jewel. I was worshipping Vishnu to get a greater kingdom than anyone has ever had. I was such a fool. How shameful I am. So even though we may have material desires, the process of devotional service, if taken with dedication, will cleanse those desires, and one day we'll feel ashamed. Why was I coming to Krishna with such inferior motives? That is a sign of advancement. So no matter what our ulterior motive is, let us come to Krishna. Let us chant Krishna's name. Let us hear about Krishna and serve Krishna in the association of Krishna conscious practitioners. And then we may be able to get actual realization of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Any questions? Yes.
Yeah, Maharaj Navi, King Navi, is damned here for serving Krishna with material desires, yes, and other desires and wasn't fast at the highest level, but we're just reading and feeling.
Though he had a material desire, still he was a devotee of the Supreme Lord, and Krishna desired to appear as his son. He wanted a son like Vishnu, but Vishnu said, let me appear directly as your son. Krishna can do whatever he wants. You cannot restrict Krishna. You cannot come in this situation. This devotee is not completely pure, therefore you can't come. Krishna does whatever he likes. Otherwise, how else can we be able to teach others about Krishna consciousness? Krishna has appeared in this temple as the holy name, as the Srimad Bhagavatam. As the mission to teach everyone about Krishna. No one here comes from a background as exalted as Maharaj Nabi, so why is Krishna here? Krishna is independent. This is the problem when people define the Supreme Absolute Truth as simply the sum total of everything. No, if you could add everything up, all the components of this universe, all the universes, you still would not add up to Krishna, because Krishna is greater than the sum of the parts. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Therefore, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, everything rests upon me, but I'm not there. In other words, just because you have the sum total of everything, you don't have me. I'm independent. Though everything is my energy, I also have individuality. So Krishna can do what he likes. Just like you can deal with somebody who doesn't have complete pure motives of affection for you, you can deal with those kind of persons. In the material life, they do this all the time. Well, this young man he's not the one I want to spend my whole life with, but anyway, just for the weekend it's okay. You're making a decision based on what you think is practical. His motives aren't, he's not completely dedicated to me. But for a weekend, it's all right. I'll take the good and overlook the bad. Krishna is also a conscious individual. He can do that. Your motives aren't completely pure in terms of dedication to my interests. But if I want, I can engage you in my service. I can appear through you. So Krishna has his own sweet will. And any devotional service never goes in vain, is never overlooked by the Lord. Although it is a fact that devotional service without motive, that is most relished by Krishna. And because everything is personal, we want to become qualified to give the best pleasure to Krishna. While not discouraging the service of others who want to make mixed offerings for the time being. Anything else? Yes.
Well, I was sort of attacking you on from the sunlight Christian
Vaxxalamasa. He didn't, first of all, it doesn't say he wanted Vishnu. He wanted a son like Vishnu. It doesn't say he was asking for Vaxxalamasa in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, parental love. He wanted a son like the Lord. Anything else? Yes. What is he referring to? The whole exposition? Even if someone can read your aura, so what? There are people who can do that, but so what? So what? Suppose I can, some people can say, oh, you're wearing a blue sweater. Other people can see your aura. Big deal. Now what? Now that I've seen your aura, what to do? Anything else? No questions over here? Is that Danielle? No questions? Yes. Nah, I don't know where you get that from. You don't want to do that. The truth is everywhere. Just be open, receptive, and keep an eye out for the unexpected. Have a good intention in your heart. And always be on the lookout for your soul mate. What is spirituality without a soul mate? I don't know where you get this surrender to Krishna stuff. Then you just get your chakras cleansed. Actually, you may try to relieve your blockages, but more will come and take the place. You may try to relieve yourself of problems from your childhood, things you suffered in the womb, or past life influences. But then, more problems come upon you, unless you know the art of engaging in devotional service. When you engage in devotional service, then the door is shut to more contamination coming upon you due to your vigorous engagement in serving Krishna's senses. But otherwise, even Jesus says that in the Bible. What does he say? You kick out seven demons and seven more come and take the place. That's a very focused, simple way of explaining Krishna consciousness, that unless you are getting a higher taste, you must get a lower taste. You clean yourself of these influences, but you're living in a mature world, more influences come upon you. Therefore, it's best to learn the science of bhakti yoga, how to live in this world without contamination. Otherwise, you get rid of this hang-up, and another hang-up comes upon you. You get rid of this phobia, another phobia comes. On and on it goes. Don't you have any better zoom than that? Yes, that's why we all need to take superior advice. As Prabhupada writes in the sixth chapter of the Gita, we have to train the mind to abide by superior direction. I may be sick, but if I follow the instruction of someone who knows how to give me health, then even though I'm sick, I'll become healthy, as long as I follow the instruction. So there's nothing unusual about having a wild mind. That's everybody's condition these days. Most people don't know it, though. So to know it, that's a great achievement. Then the next step is to take some cure for the wild mind. That means to abide by superior instruction. But to have a wild mind, that's nothing unusual. That's everybody. The unusual thing is to take the cure. So if you have some supplementary way that will make your body and mind more fit for engaging in devotional service, that's all right, but just understand it's supplementary. Don't make it the mainstay. Don't delude yourself thinking it's the actual cure. It is a fact that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, all your problems will be solved. But we have to be practical. Not everybody chants Hare Krishna with that much faith. But you can, but not everybody does it. You get my point? You can, though, but not everybody does it. So therefore, we are open to helping all kinds of persons. Those with great faith, and those who approach Krishna with just a little bit of faith. They're also rare, great souls. So we don't throw them out the door. You don't have enough faith in Krishna. You're still bothered by your mind and body. Get out of here. Then the place would be empty. Anything else? Yes. Where? Inside the stomach, the lungs, where? That is true, but unless you are purified, you can't perceive God within you. Therefore, what's the use? God is within and without, but because of pollution, you can't see that. Therefore, God is lost to you, and your own self is lost to you, because you don't have the vision to see. Just like if I told you, I have a house here in Perth. What's the use to you if you can't find it? So simply saying God is within, what's the use in such a statement? Unless you know the process for perceiving and taking information from God within. You notice everyone who says God is within, they do the same thing as everybody else. whether God is within or without, where's the sense gratification? After all is said and done. Is that too severe, Danielle? Might have a grain of truth in all this. You think I'm being too severe about this festival, this expo? Or did you go? We were looking for you there. Anything else? Right. Thank you very much. All those. Because Bhagavad Gita has all the things the Bible has in it and more. Haven't you read Prabhupada saying that in the Gita? He says you'll find some things that are in other scriptures and a lot of things that aren't there. All the important points of the Bible are contained in Bhagavad Gita. So one who is following the Gita is following the Bible, the Koran. So tell them to buy the book and make a comparison. Yes. By understanding Krishna. Krishna is not a fragment. Krishna is the whole. We're not presenting a fragmented understanding of Krishna. Why would you think otherwise? What would make you think sectarian? What would make you think that? What do you mean? What do you mean? Well, that's good. Not the best way, but that'll get you somewhere. But why do you think that you're just doing some kind of rituals? Well, become thoughtful. Become Krishna conscious. What do you mean by sectarian? So, that's true, but this is the group with the most knowledge. Is something wrong with that? And this is the group with the best facilities for connecting to Krishna. Is there something wrong with that? Don't find the guidance where? In yourself, you mean? Could mean that your glasses are dirty. Huh? What do you want? Krishna to appear to you in the middle of the night? What are you looking for? Hmm?
What are you looking for? What's that everything? So? You don't find Krishna here? Hmm? Are they always talking about Krishna? Are they chanting Hare Krishna? Mamana Bhava Madbhakta? Majaji Mam Namaskar? Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your obeisances to me? Isn't that the program here? So what's the problem? What do you want? You don't want that, huh? So what's the difficulty? Does anyone know what his difficulty is? What's that? Wouldn't you like someone to be sensitive to you and conscious of the way you want things done? So, Krishna also desires you be conscious of him. Suppose someone came up to you today and said, what's your name?
Scott, I really want to know the things that you like.
You say, wow! Right? This is my lucky day! Okay, great. Where do I start? I like this, I like that, this, that, the other. And then the person,
oh, Scott, I just want to do things the way you like. It's all, this is what it's all about.
Right? So that, why can't you do that for Krishna? Find out what Krishna likes and do it. So we have a whole book called Nectar Devotion, which explains what Krishna likes. The 64 items of devotional service. All the things we do are what Krishna likes. Personalism. You've read Nectar Devotion. What? Any ladies, any points? All right. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.